Hey, this is Rick Caselge from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Today I have another interview for you, and I'm interviewing Ryan F. And I'll get Ryan to introduce himself on who he is and what he does.
Hi, Rick. My name is Ryan Fanley. I know it's a tough last name that a lot of people struggle with. But right now what I currently do is I am a course conductor for the Poliquin Strength Institute, which means I travel internationally to lecture on things like fat loss, training for sports, conditioning, injury prevention, and nutrition. Prior to that, I served 6 years in the military where I was I worked with a lot of troops on their physical fitness to pass the performance test. And then I was also an NCAA Division I strength and conditioning coach for 6 years. So,
okay. Lots of stuff. You've done lots of stuff.
Quite a bit, yes.
So what we were going to talk about on this call was like body composition. Now, maybe you can give people a little bit of background, like what is body composition? Then we'll kind of go into the details of how people can change the body composition mistakes people make, and et cetera. But maybe we'll just start off with a basic definition of what body composition is.
That's a very good question, and it's a question that confuses a lot of people, Rick. A lot of people use scale weight to determine how fat or thin they are. So they may say, someone that's 270 pounds is fatter than someone that's 220 pounds. While that may potentially be true, it doesn't take into the composition of those pounds. And what I mean by that is everyone has a certain number of different cells in their body. So you have muscle cells, bone cells, fat cells, different organs, and those all make up the body composition. But typically in the fitness industry, we refer to body composition as a percentage of body fat. So someone that is 10% body fat, basically it means that 10% of their total weight is fat, while the other 90% is lean muscle tissue, bones, organs, things like that. So body composition is a much better tool to analyze health, well-being, and fitness than just body weight alone.
Okay. So, when we kind of look at it, when people are looking at fat loss or losing weight, they use the scale as a guide. But in reality, what they're looking for is shape changes. Changes in their body. So what would be like the number one mistake that you end up seeing people make when it comes to them wanting to change their body composition?
Okay, so I have to pick one mistake. That's going to be
just
a tough
one. I know there's a lot that you can go into, but if people just listen to this part of the interview and leave with this one thing, what would it be?
Okay. One of the biggest mistakes I think people make when it comes to changing their body composition is assuming that a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. And when you get into calorie counting, and that goes hand in hand with watching the weight on the scale, what ends up happening is, again, you're neglecting what's actually happening to your body composition, okay? So I think it's far more important to focus on proper nutrition habits than it is to worry about calories, okay? So when I talk about proper nutrition habits, I'm talking about things like eating plenty of whole natural organic meats, lots of vegetables, a little bit of fruit here and there, things that happen in nature, not a lot of processed foods, not a lot of packaged foods, things like that. And then not using the scale as a guide. So when you use the scale as a guide, this is what ends up happening. This is a very typical calorie counting scale as a guide mentality. Someone will eat low-calorie foods, and it may be low-calorie junk food, low-calorie pizza, low-calorie ice cream, that's fine. And what happens is they'll start to lose weight on the scale, but a lot of times when you eat those poor-quality processed foods, you end up losing lean body mass or muscle mass, okay? That becomes a problem because over time that causes you to metabolism to slow down. It causes weakness in bone density, so you could be looking at a future of osteoporosis or back problems or broken hips, things like that. And then, like I said, metabolic slowdown is another thing that happens when you focus too much on calories, because the body doesn't work in a linear, exact mathematical equation, okay? And that's what I think people need to understand, need to realize, is that it's not simply about calories in versus calories out, because there's things that come into play like hormones, okay? Hormones such as insulin and cortisol, growth hormone, testosterone, all those play a factor in what happens with your body composition. And so I think as far as to circle back around, the biggest thing I can tell your customers and your listeners here to do is to make the shift to whole, unprocessed, organic foods. And don't worry about calories. It's a simple rule of eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full, as long as you're eating those natural, organic foods. So here's an example. How many times, Rick, have you ever heard someone say, man, I was so stressed last night and I couldn't stop eating broccoli. I ate an entire bag of broccoli. You don't hear it because broccoli has something in it called fiber that causes you to fill up and have a feeling of satiety and fullness. Okay. So it naturally regulates your calorie intake. Same thing with protein. Proteins naturally regulate your calorie intake because you get signals when you're full. Contrast that with chips, cookies, donuts. Okay. Those things don't have nutrients in them to signal you when you're full. And so that's why you can tend to overeat on those. Okay, so basically for your listeners out there, make sure you're eating whole, unprocessed foods as much as possible and eat organic as much as possible.
Okay, and then one thing you kind of quickly glanced over, and you kind of mentioned you should look at eating a little bit of fruit. What does that mean, and why should people just think about eating a little bit of fruit?
Well, the reason I say a little bit is because people will tend to overdo fruit. So if I give everyone a green light to eat fruit, what's going to happen is they're going to eat a lot of their calories from fruit. And fruit does contain some sugar, okay? So and different fruits are different. So something like berries has less sugar than, say, a banana or watermelon. But I like to say a little bit of fruit because it's one of those nutrients that even though it's healthy, it's good for you, it may not be the best to have in large quantities in a fat loss program, if that makes sense. So it's healthy, but it may not be the right thing for fat loss.
Okay. Okay. So looking at like people, when they're looking at their fat loss goal, and a lot of times it relates to body composition, they'll end up reaching the look that they want, the body composition that they want, and then they need to kind of go back to regular life when it comes to their diet and exercise. Now what, you know, and people end up getting that rebounding weight, you know, what can people do when they kind of switch back to their regular diet and maybe ease off on the exercise to prevent that rebound effect happening in their weight and body composition?
That's a very good question, Rick, and the answer is actually twofold. First, the first thing that needs to happen in order to prevent a rebound is to not let your calories get too low in the first place, okay? So anytime you do a crash diet or a emergency diet, something where you're dropping calories very, very low, which a lot of people do when they're getting ready for the beach or a vacation or whatnot, what happens is that at that point your body feels like it's starving, and so when you do gradually reintroduce food, it's going to hoard it, and that's when you get that rebound weight gain. So the first rule is don't wait till the last minute to get in shape. You know, allow yourself a longer, more gradual time, okay, and that's going to make it more permanent. So what's lost fast is gained back fast. What's lost over a long period of time will be maintained for a long period of time. So if you take 26 weeks to lose your 15, 20 pounds, that's going to be a much more permanent change than if you tried to do that in 5 weeks or 6 weeks, okay? It can be done. You can lose 20 pounds in 6 weeks, but then you're setting yourself up for a rebound. The next part of preventing rebound weight gain happens after you decide to adjust to a more normal style of eating. In this case, you need to do what's considered reverse dieting. So instead of going instantly back to the way you used to eat, you need to gradually add calories back in. Okay, so it can't just be, let's say, for example, while you're on your diet plan that you're down to 2,000 calories a day. Well, when you decide to go back off the diet and resume your more normal eating, you can't just jump up to 3,500 calories right away because that's asking for trouble. So what I would recommend is add maybe 100 to 250 calories per week until you're back up at the caloric levels you want to maintain.
Oh, okay, okay. And then looking at a couple of things that you mentioned, you know, with people will, you know, end up losing lean body mass, and they'll also end up going on, you know, a low carb diet. Now, what that'll end up doing is affecting people's metabolism. So how can people prevent a slowdown in their metabolism when they're on a diet and looking at changing their body composition?
This is actually a very good question. It's the one that your listeners are going to like to hear the answer to the most. Okay? And the answer is you need to have a planned cheat meal or cheat day happen at least once every 7 to 14 days. Okay? And what that does, when you go under periods of reduced calorie dieting, your thyroid gland, which is what regulates your metabolism, it tends to slow down its output. Okay? Also, there's a hormone called leptin that is kind of the gatekeeper for fat loss. When leptin levels are high, it allows you to lose body fat more rapidly. When leptin levels get low, body fat loss slows or completely stops. Now, your leptin level will drop after in as little as 5 days on a reduced calorie diet. Okay, so if you have someone that eats 30 days in a row low calorie, those last 25 days, they're operating at a worse metabolism. Okay, so I recommend once every 5 to 14 days to have a cheat meal. And here's the rules for the cheat meal. One, it lasts 2 hours. Okay, so you have a 2 hour window, not a 8 hour window or a 10 hour window. It's a 2 hour window. Okay. You have as much as you want of whatever you want, making sure that a lot of the calories come from carbohydrates and a lot of calories come from fat, okay? This high calorie intake is what stimulates your leptin levels to jump back up so that your body doesn't think that it's starving, okay? So one of the biggest mistakes you can make is to be too restrictive in your nutrition plan when you're trying to lose body fat. And, it goes back to the social side of things. No one wants to be a social hermit and live in their Tupperware all the time. You want to get out and be able to enjoy a meal with friends, be able to, have some dessert, once a week. And so the plan of cheat meal is probably the best thing that you can do to keep your metabolism from slowing down.
Okay. And then we focused a lot on the diet side of things. Now, what is an exercise mistake that people often make when it relates to changing their body composition and losing fat?
Probably, Rick, the biggest mistake I see is an over-reliance on steady-state aerobic work. And when I say steady-state aerobic work, I mean going for a 30-minute jog. I mean cycling for 45 minutes at a time at a constant pace. And the thing about it is it can be effective for certain populations to lose body fat. But there's a couple issues with relying too heavily on aerobic training. The first issue is that aerobic training actually makes you more efficient. So it makes you, if you think of it in terms of a car, you think like a Toyota Prius is a very fuel-efficient car. You get a lot of miles per gallon. Okay, well, you don't want to get a lot of miles per calorie with your body, okay? You want to be fuel inefficient with your body because you want to be a gas-guzzling, calorie-burning machine. So you want your body to be a Lamborghini, not a Prius, right? Just zooming up the freeway, guzzling gas, burning calories at will. That's what you want to be, all right? And so when you do too much aerobic work, you just become too efficient, and you have to do longer and longer and more sessions. So I typically recommend aerobic work for no more than 6 to 8 weeks at a time, and either in one of two cases, either a very, very stark beginner, so someone who may be morbidly obese or they've never exercised before in their life, will get some good benefit out of doing 6 to 8 weeks of aerobic work. On the flip side, you have someone who's been weight training for a really, really long time, and they're in the last 6 to 8 weeks of their program, maybe before a bodybuilding contest or before a beach vacation, in which case it's acceptable, in my opinion, to integrate a little bit more aerobic work. But most of the training you do should be anaerobic in nature. So things like sprints, 100-meter sprints, 400-meter sprints, a big emphasis on weight training, because weight training shifts your hormonal balance favorably for fat loss. Okay, so by lifting weights with the proper technique, proper rest periods, and proper load, you can actually increase your body's growth hormone and testosterone, which are two things that are crucial for having a lean, fit physique.
Okay, I got one more question for you. So we've talked about the diet, we've talked about the exercise side of things, and now is there anything, if someone wants to kind of speed up their metabolism or fat burning, Is there a supplement or two that you would recommend?
Yes, absolutely. No fat loss program is complete without the addition of fish oil. Okay. Fish oil is, it's kind of a superstar of supplements, if you will. I mean, this lecture isn't about, necessarily medicine or health, but if you type any disease into a research database and contrast it with fish oil, you'll find that fish oil benefits nearly every disease known to man, which is huge. Okay, but we're talking about fat loss here, and one of the cool things that fish oil does is it sends signals to your very genes to A, stop storing fat, and B, to burn fat. So they have lipogenic genes, which are the genes that cause you to store fat. It turns those genes off like a light switch. Then you have lipolytic genes, which are fat burning genes, and it turns those genes on. So fish oil actually has the power to signal your very DNA, which is amazing. It's truly remarkable. As far as dosages go, I recommend no less than 6 grams a day and up to 1 gram per percentage point body fat. So, for example, if you have someone in their 22% body fat, you could get away with doing 22 grams of fish oil per day because it's going to basically replace all the bad fats in their bodies and unclog the receptor sites. Oh. So fish oil is the superstar.
Superstar supplement. That's great. Now, I mean, those are all the questions that I have for you. Now, is there any last tips or insight that you want to leave people with?
Yes. One last tip that I'll leave people with is to always make sure to focus on your physical performance when looking for fat loss progress. For example, I have never seen a 400 meter sprinter that ran the 400 meters in under 52 seconds that did not have a six pack. Okay. So when I talk to people about fat loss, I always talk to them about increasing their physical performance. So 400 meter sprints are a big part of my programs that I give to people. And I always use that as a guideline. I say, when you get your time to under 52 seconds, for sure, without any hesitation, you will have a six pack. You'll be under 8% body fat. You'll be lean. So I always look to improve your physical performance in the gym, on the track, wherever you decide to exercise.
Oh, I've never heard of that, but that, I've never heard of that. The 400 meter under 52 seconds. Wow. That's a cool goal. That's a cool performance goal. Now, Ryan, where can people get more information about you?
Well, I've got a site called thefatlosssolution.com, and basically I've got a series of fat loss manuals that goes over every aspect of fat loss. It goes over training. It goes over nutrition, goal setting, psychology, becoming your own personal trainer, exercise technique, supplements. It's kind of the whole shebang. I spent several years writing it to make sure that it was going to be good and useful for the people that ended up purchasing it.
Awesome. So, I mean, Ryan, thank you very much for your time. And thank you very much, Exercises for Injuries readers, listeners, and viewers. Thank you very much for joining me and Ryan on this interview. If you have an injury or pain, swing by exercisesforinjuries.com, enter your injury or pain. There's a good chance I have an article or video for you that'll help you out. Second thing is, if you're watching this on YouTube, just head up above and hit subscribe. And what that'll do is you'll end up subscribing to my YouTube channel. And what that means is every couple days you'll end up getting a video like this from myself. Now, lastly, head down below and like this video or leave myself or Ryan a comment or question, and we'll make sure that we answer it. So that's everything. So this is Rick Kasselge and Ryan saying take care and bye-bye.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it. Take care.
No worries. Take care.